So good to be with you to share God's word as we're drawing near to the close of the year. I hope you've had an amazing Christmas day. I hope you've been able to gather with your loved ones, your friends, your family. I think after the year that we've had, being able to gather and being together, it's made us appreciate those simple things, to be able to be close to our loved ones. COVID has definitely made us appreciate those smaller things, those finer things in life this year. So of course, with Christmas now past, in a few days' time, we're about to cross over into a new year, 2021. And I'm sure most of us are absolutely ready to kiss 2020 goodbye and to see it all wrapped up. I totally get it. And who doesn't want this year to be over and hope for a better 2021? But can I say, if we just shut the door on 2020, then I think we miss something incredibly precious. In fact, I'd go so far as to say that we would do the year that we've had an injustice if we don't really draw on the learnings and the gifts that have unfolded in the year that we have just experienced. Now, that's a curious thing for me to say. Would you even describe 2020 as a gift? And I want to be clear here, I'm not saying COVID-19 is a gift. I don't believe God gives viruses as gifts. However, I do believe that God uses circumstances like the ones that we've had to unfold things that are great, great lessons and gifts that we can discover in the year that we have just had. And I think they've made us more resilient and more mature. So perhaps you see 2020 as a bad gift that no one wants. Have you just experienced that at Christmas? You know, someone hands you this beautiful wrapped up gift and you carefully undo all the paper and there before you is this gift that you're kind of going, oh, I don't want that. What am I going to do with that? I experienced that last year. Granted, it was one of those bad Kris Kringle joke type of Christmas gifts, but here was this beautiful gift, and as I unfolded it, out came this pimple popper. Totally grossed me out. I'm supposed to fill it up and squeeze it and pus comes out. I mean, who wants that at Christmas? I feel so nauseated by it, I've left it in its packaging because I ain't going to use it at all. But, you know, maybe I'm missing out. Maybe I'm missing out from having some fun experience. It's something that I've kind of wanted to just shelve and maybe re-gift to someone else who would appreciate it. I just use that as a simple analogy here that, you know, every year there are highs and lows and there's challenges and there's gifts. But often those gifts come in packages that we least expect. And sometimes what we do is we kind of just shelve it. We don't want to really utilize it. Now, I don't want to minimize 2020. It has been an extremely difficult year and it's taken a toll on us in many ways, financially, mentally, socially, especially for us that live in Victoria. But I do feel like the year that we've just had has been a gift despite how difficult it has been. And I can really appreciate in a new way what James, the brother of Jesus, says in this scripture in James 1:4. It says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." So this year, we have had our faith really tested. It has required us to really dig deep. It's required us to look at what we're actually standing on and what we're trusting in and whom we're trusting in. And, you know, it takes times like these, challenges that we've just gone through, to really look at the fore of where our faith is at. When we go through challenging times, it shows if our faith is shaky or whether it's firm. So I haven't personally liked COVID, but I'm thankful for it for many reasons. And one of the reasons for that is it's made us rethink, relook, reimagine, and reevaluate like never ever before. And so as we stand on this precipice of 2021, just like we stood at the precipice of 2020, I want to say that no one knows what the year is going to look like ahead of us. Most of us are hoping that it will be COVID-free. We're certainly hoping for a better year. However, the only thing I'm really confident in about the coming of a new year is that it will have its highs and lows, and it will have opportunities and challenges for us to learn and grow from. And so the question then becomes, how do we prepare for that? What has this year taught us that equips us for the coming year ahead? I wrote just recently in someone's card, you know, I pray that the year ahead, and I was about to write, you know, that your heart's desires will be fulfilled, something to that effect. But I actually paused and I thought about it and I end up writing, I pray that the year ahead, whatever it looks like, helps us to become more like Jesus. And I believe, church, that is our measuring stick. Has 2020, with all its challenges, helped you to become more like Jesus? Has it helped you to walk like him, to sound like him, to be like him? As Christians, our measure of a successful year is not just about achieving all our heart's desires. It's not about being happy. It's not about ticking off all the things on our list, as great and as wonderful as that all is. I believe our measure is Jesus. He is our center and he is our mission. So as we wrap up this 2020, and that's the title of this message today, Wrapping Up 2020, and we get ready to step into 2021. And as I stand on this threshold with you, I want to share with you just a couple of gifts that I believe we have been given this year. And I believe we've been given many gifts. And I actually want to encourage you in this Christmas New Year period to really step back and really reflect on the things that God has given you and what you're going to take into 2021. But I want to share with you two gifts that I believe he has given to us. And the first gift is reflection. Reflection is a great spiritual discipline and probably not something that we speak much of. Our busy culture doesn't really lend itself to stopping and reflecting. We use words like mindfulness, and certainly reflection is a part of that. But our culture doesn't tend to lend itself to stopping and reflecting because we are always on the move. But this year in 2020, COVID has given us the opportunity to stop like never before and to reflect like never before. All of us were forced to go into lockdown and we were basically living, working and playing in our homes. Our usual activities halted. There were less things to distract us with. Granted, however, all the parents that had to homeschool and work at home would have been incredibly challenging. But for the majority of us, we had all this time to stop and reflect. So why is reflection important? Regular reflection is like a spiritual checkup, and it's critical for us to grow and to mature. And it enables us to check on the state of our spiritual lives. When we stop and reflect, oh, why did I say that? Or why did I do that? Why is that triggering in me? What is going on here? It's like we lift the bonnet of a car and we look inside and we're able to make decisions, different decisions and choices that will lead us to better places. So reflection enables us to take an honest look at ourselves and see our weaknesses and see our strengths. This year for me personally, I discovered parts of my personality that I deemed a strength that all of a sudden I could see it not being such a strength. I could see the weakness part of it. And I could see some habits that had formed, and when I broke down those habits, they ultimately could lead to sin. And so that was a real eye-opener for me, and it came out of the time that we had to reflect. So what about you? What has God revealed to you in your times of reflection? What are the changes that you've made as a result? Reflection also helps us to keep in check with what God is doing and what he's done in our lives. When we stop and reflect on these things, other spiritual disciplines flow, such as thanksgiving and joy. One of my things that I've done this year in reflection is to go in a park and just sit there, and I've become amazed at the wonder of nature. And out of that is just, there's an appreciation and a connectedness, all coming out of a time of reflection. So reflection allows us to look for God in our lives, in the lives of those around us, in our church and in our world. So with now life heading pretty much in COVID normal, I'm so conscious, and maybe this is you as well, how our diary is starting to fill up. And I'm consciously having to pull the reins and try and guard my times of reflection, not to crowd in the diary, not to crowd in all those times that I had formed a habit of spending more time in solitude and reflection, and being really conscious of that. But I have to say, it takes effort. It takes effort because it's easy for things to creep in. So I want to encourage you with this. When we're spending time reflecting on Jesus, we end up reflecting Jesus. And Jesus modeled to us very clearly all through the Gospels the importance of solitude, prayer and reflection. In Luke 5:16 it says, "But Jesus often withdrew to the wilderness for prayer." I want to highlight just one word in that scripture, often. Now, often is often. It's frequently. It's not every now and again. It's not once a month. Often is often. And Jesus would often withdraw. He would withdraw to spend time with God, to pray and to reflect. And he would do it on a regular basis. He would withdraw from people, from ministry, from work, from others, just to be still and to be with his Father and to pray and reflect. And so all the way through the Gospels, we see that he would do this at various times. He would do it when he needed to make a big decision. He would do it after really a big ministry time. He would do it when he was tired. He would do it at times of grieving. He would do it at all various times. He would stop and he would go to a place that was a place of solitude where he could spend time praying and reflection. I believe prayer and reflection are the engine room of a Christian's life. Whether you spend much time in prayer and reflection or not, it's never too late to start. I encourage you over this Christmas and New Year period to build the habit by starting small. You know, even if it's just 5 minutes of stopping and reflecting in the middle of your busy day and just stopping and examining oneself. Where was I? How am I feeling? What are the emotions that I'm going through right now? Why am I feeling that? And asking the Lord to reveal to you what is going on. A habit is formed when we repeatedly do something over a period of time. And it doesn't have to be huge chunks of time. But when we set that time aside, it can produce much fruit and much blessing. And I believe God honours the time that we spend aside with him and reflect. James 1:23-25 says, "Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they've heard but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do." And I think that's just a really important reminder that we become doers of the word. And the lessons that we've learnt this year, that we continue to outwork those lessons, that we don't forget them, because we don't want to be that person that just looks in the mirror and then walks away and forgets what it looks like. The second gift that I believe we've been given this year is surrender. How many of your plans came to pass in 2020? Maybe a lot of them did. Did you have to change any of your plans because of what 2020 was like? I'm pretty confident all of us have had to change some of our plans, even if they were just travel plans. COVID reminded us that whilst as humans we crave certainty, nothing in life is really certain. So how do we prepare and plan for 2021 after what we've experienced this year? What did we learn from this year that we can take into the new year when it comes to planning? I believe the spiritual discipline of surrender is actually key. And as a planner, I have to say I like to plan, and I usually plan months in advance. And I recognise that, you know, I probably frustrate a lot of my go-with-the-flow friends who, you know, I probably take the spontaneity and fun out of life when I've planned things to the hilt. However, I do believe, and I've got scripture to prove it, that planning is good. In Proverbs 21:5, it says, "The plans of the diligent leads to abundance, but everyone who is hasty comes only to poverty." So planning is good, but when we hold on to our plans so tightly, it's not so good. And this year, more than ever, I've had to learn from my go-with-the-flow friends and learn how to surrender my plans and prepare to take on whatever comes my way. When plans don't go according to our plan, every part of our need to control comes to the fore. And as humans, we like to control. 2020 has taught us that there are very few things we can control. When we look at the life of Jesus, he was an exemplar of surrender. Jesus constantly surrendered his life and his will to the Father, even when he didn't like it. If we think about that excruciating image of him in the Garden of Gethsemane when he knew that he was about to go to the cross, and, you know, there was this absolute agony and anxiety about knowing what he was about to do, and he sweated beads of blood, and yet he was able to surrender his plans to the Father's plan and go to the cross. And he uttered those incredible words, "Yet not my will, but yours." If we reflect just before Christmas on the mother of Jesus, Mary, and I think about that teenage girl who probably had plans for her life. She was betrothed, she was to be married, and yet appeared all of a sudden an angel who told her that she had been chosen to be the mother of the future Messiah. What would have gone through her mind? How was this going to all work out? She didn't know. She didn't have all the details. She didn't know how it was all going to work out. And yet she uttered those amazing words, "I am the Lord's servant, maidservant," and she was ready and surrendered her plans to the will of the Lord. So we need to be aware that the more we stick to our plans, the more likely we miss God's plans and what God is actually doing. In James 4, 13 to 15, it says, "Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we'll go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit, yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. None of us knows what tomorrow brings, yet alone what 2021 is going to bring to us. We only have today. And so how do we plan? How do we move forward? I want to remind us of this simple but powerful scripture that says in Matthew 6:33, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." Let the things that you desire and the things you want to do in 2021 be about bringing his kingdom first and his righteousness. Enter into 2021 with all your desires, dreams and goals, and ask the Lord, are these the things that he desires for you to focus on? Ask him to give you discernment and to close any doors that he does not want you to focus on. Ask him to guide your steps as you enter into 2021, ensuring that they are focused on building his kingdom first and his righteousness. In wrapping up today, and I guess in wrapping up this year, 2020 is a year we will never forget. And as we prepare for the coming year, let's ensure we spend the time learning the lessons that have been given to us this year, and we all have them. Don't just wrap it up and close the door. Let's spend that time reflecting with God. What is it that I've learnt this year? What is it that I can take into the new year? And let's make some changes and really ensure that we're building for the future. And let's ensure that those changes are about his kingdom and building his righteousness, that we continue to courageously love and empower people to become more like Jesus, because that is our measuring stick. I want to end on a prayer, a beautiful prayer crafted by one of our youngsters here at Bayside Church, and his name's Daniel Mottel Oldham. And the Oldhams moved back to New Zealand this year, but they're very much connected, still part of Bayside Church Online. And Daniel wrote a beautiful prayer that I want to leave with you. And so in this time of prayer, you might even just want to close your eyes. Imagine this 12-year-old child writing this prayer, and make this prayer your prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, as kids, we learnt of Jonah, Daniel, and King David. These wise men fought in faith, belief, and courage. All these came directly from you. Now, as we reflect on our year, we see that our faith, belief, and courage were tested like Jonah, Daniel, and King David. And to think that you already prepared us for our challenges through the example of these great men is amazing. Thank you. Lord, 2020 hasn't been the easiest year. We went through isolation, stockpiling, conspiracy theories, the church at home, work and school at home, economic breakdowns, bad news, empty supermarket shelves, job layoffs, social breakdown, Zoom meetings, Zoom birthdays, online shopping, no shipping from China, and more. Fear surrounded us. In our challenges, you never left us. When we surrendered and focused on you, Lord, miracles happened. You brought us back to you. Our problems disappeared as we saw blessings, healing, compassion, and people caring for others more. As COVID put barriers into our physical contact, you created a better way for us to connect through technology. The church came into our homes as our leaders faithfully taught and prayed with us in our homes. We learned to see the good side of our problems. You used this time to bless us even more. We spent more times with our family and even more time bike riding. We thank you, Lord, because you showed the biggest miracle for me and my family. You made a way for us to come back to New Zealand to be with our loved ones in the middle of lockdown. While staring at our problems like a moose in headlights with no way out, you opened the gates and let us out. Our ways are not your ways. Nothing is impossible to you. Lord Jesus, as 2020 comes to a close, I thank you for blessing us with our Bayside Church and church leaders. They helped us understand that the gifts of love, faith, loyalty, and courage that you gave to Jonah, Daniel, and King David are the same gifts you have for us now. Thank you that I learnt through our journey that instead of 2020 being a year of challenges, it is not really. 2020 is a year to fully surrender to you. It is a year of humility for our world. Thank you for your blessing and eternal love. In your holy name I pray. Amen. What a stunning prayer, and I hope you cherish those words written by Daniel. And you know, out of the mouths of babes, I just love every word that he's penned here today. In closing, I just want to give you an opportunity. We do this every week, and it's such a great way to even think about how to start a new year, and that is surrendering our life to Jesus. Jesus just wants to walk with you, and it's an invitation. It's not forced upon anyone. It's just a simple invitation if you would like to receive Jesus and to start to know him more. All we do here at Bayside Church is give you an opportunity to do that. And right now in the chat, our hosts will be posting a link, and you can just click through that button, and we would love to get in contact with you, give you a Bible, and set you on that journey of knowing Jesus. But I'd love to just pray this prayer simply now for anyone who'd like to ask Jesus into their life. Heavenly Father, I choose to surrender my life to you. I believe that Jesus Christ came in the flesh and revealed who you are. I believe that he is the Son of God, and I believe that he died for my sins. Lord, I choose to walk with you today, and I ask that you would fill me with the power of your Holy Spirit so that I can walk and fulfill the purposes and plans that you have for me. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I hope you've made that your prayer today. It's a wonderful way to start, kick off 2021. I thank you, and I wish you a wonderful new year. And as I said, whatever this year holds, may it be one where we become more like Jesus.